podcast is back, and we're back with loads of new ideas to help you get the most out of your games using match play cards. It's been a non-stop couple of months with tours across the UK, spending time with teachers, coaches, visiting the amazing West Ham and Crystal Palace football clubs to see our match play cards in action. It was a real highlight. Next stop, Kuala Lumpur and Singapore in January. If you're in the area, do let us know. We'd love to come and visit. As always, keep sharing on social media, tell your friends about them, and get in touch to discover more about our club and school bundles. On to the podcast, and happy listening.
One for the five of us to connect and share some stories around match play cards, and Ander and Sean to share some real life examples around some of the work we've done in both departments in the schools that they're in, and the settings and different sports that they are involved in, to help everyone ultimately get the most out of match play cards. And as the founder, I'm really conscious that I'm the one that created them, but I'm not the one delivering your sessions, and I don't want to be delivering your sessions. I want just to be supporting you to deliver those sessions and make them really playful and really exciting, and using match play cards along the way to get the most out of them. And I'd say this to a lot of people: there's definitely not a right way, and there's definitely not a wrong way to use them. The player and the game and the environment are three core pillars to that. And in football, they talk about the player being the syllabus. And to me, that's really, really important to meet the players where they are and to support them on that journey to go forward. On to today and some of the stuff that we'll speak about. And really grateful for the three people that we've got to give up their time. And Sean Crane at Dulwich Prep, Graham Mansell-Grace, although I never call him that. His name is Panda. Most people would know him as that. Arundel and head of hockey. And Chris at St Faith's, primary PE, head of cricket, a bit of rugby, I think, as well. Chris, am I right?
Yeah. Bit of club rugby at Shelford Rugby Club in Cambridge.
Awesome. So really three different environments, but also three quite similar environments in maybe some of the ages and some of the sports settings in school. And what I hope you get out of today is one, plenty of ideas to go away with and actually give a go. It's a really good time of year to just say, and I spoke to Sean before this, that, okay, let's set two challenges and two things we're going to try in this term, two things we're going to do differently next term. Sean, I reckon we'll kickstart with yourself because you've got to go pretty quickly in the life of a coach and teacher you're going to shoot off. But maybe give us a bit of a lowdown. Let's start 6 months ago with some of the Values Festival that we supported, and then maybe where we're up to now and what we're going to do.
Yeah, so sort of started to look at the program. There may be a few things that are missing within some of our sessions. We talk about differentiation, actually physically, practically doing it, not just once or twice a week, but trying to build it into that we do. In our teaching, our coaching, building it into our programs and trying to embed it on a more regular basis. We had Adam Polly come in to run a workshop for staff, for parents as well, to sort of learn, you know, with them. The idea was to get the parents to interact with their son's learning. And as you parents do, spend a lot of time working club, so a chance for them to maybe see different ways. Really great morning. The year fives learnt loads. Staff that were there as well, a really good way of giving them a little bit of extra knowledge in terms of how to and maybe look to change some of their sessions. Yeah, that went really well on the back of
and
that.
And Sean, just quickly on that, maybe share what the school values were and then how we designed the games and use the cards to fit in with those values, because I think that's pretty important.
New head came in, and one of the big things that she was looking for was sort of really trying to push the values more. In the session, the school has eight values. We have service, humility, courage, gratitude, honesty, justice, self-discipline. And we were trying to build the values into the session using the match play cards and getting the boys to reflect as well. So using the match plan and the reflection cards and trying to build the idea of the values within what they're in their session, how they demonstrate those values, and how they bring the material to life, sort of thing. Amazing. Went really well. Getting the boys to be really humble in their answers and sharing their thoughts, and just seeing them interacting with their parents and talking to their parents in a way where they may have never spoken to them like that before about their football and their sport. So that was nice to see. We also have at the school another big push this year is excellent learning. We've got 12 characteristics that we use, animal based. So for example, next week when we start back, we've got all the values, which is because of the first week back, getting the boys back into their routines. But the main value is courage. And the animal, which is the excellent learning, is persevering parrot. So getting the boys to have a go at things, and they make mistakes, just need to keep going, don't give up sort of mentality. So trying to build that into the sessions is really important. Yeah.
And maybe what's some learnings from the first time you had them to the last time? We spoke about this a little bit before. What do you do differently now compared to when you first got them?
I think the first time we got them, it was a sort of experiment and explore and just see how we would use them, how we put them into the sessions, and how we can get the best out of them to get impact in what we were doing. So that was the sort of first instance, learn a little bit about them, how to use them, when to use them. This year, the next step will be to look to build it a bit more within our program, but maybe a bit more specific and theme-based, try to really pinpoint the relevant challenge to the theme that you're teaching for that session. And then with that, just trying to get the teachers to try to use them on a more regular basis too. Other ideas will be, we've got house football, so next week for year 5 and 6. So looking at building the challenge ideas within that tournament base. Doing that with the values and the excellent learning.
Follow up on a couple of points you said, kind of to get more teachers to use them. And I think that's a really smart one. We'd often see a lot of schools get, 5, 6 decks of cards for their whole department, and that's great. But then it's about, okay, well, how can you work together to do that? So often, you don't often teach on your own. So sometimes if you teach with somebody else, we coach with somebody else, actually just going out and taking a couple of cards and supporting each other through that. And if I went out with Panda, I might take a couple of cards and say to Panda, how can we add these in? Or I might even challenge Panda, as my co-coach and say, who would you give this player to? Or when would you give it to that person? And also around, okay, well, if you've given a card, and I'm guilty of this as well, we'd give a challenge card to an individual or a team, but we might forget why we've given that card or what the impact of that card is. So as much as it's great fun to add cards in and it's challenges and it's all games-based and it's super, that's cool. But why are you adding cards in and what's the impact when you add a certain card? So what card, when, and how are you delivering it? So are you delivering it in front of the whole group? Are you delivering it drive-by to an individual but not stopping the game so the game continues? Are you actually giving players the card before the session and saying, okay, next week, this is what we're doing? So there's a few different things to consider there. And just picking up on the last one before you got a shoot off, Sean, was around kind of theme based. And this is something we'd see at Rangers or particularly some of the football academies that are using the cards. Are we might not use the cards every week, but when there's a game week or there's a games night on a Friday night and it's themed around this or themed around that, actually those cards are then being put into play through those themed weeks and actually keeping multiple cards in for continued periods of time and not just putting one card in. We spoke to the German head coach for the under-18s in the hockey with the girls, and he said, we tried loads of different cards. We picked our top 5, put a rubber band around them, and that block of 5 were the cards that we used every single training session or every camp for a block period of the season. So not actually using all of them at the same time, but what's your hit list? What's your top 5 cards? and, you know, using those at the same time. Chris, maybe you can kind of fill in a bit for us around why did you get involved in the cards, and what's the impact of them, or what are you thinking?
So I'm sort of a bit of an early adopter or new adopter at the moment of the cards. I just wanted to have a look at another way of learning through games. I had my stock ways that I learned from my courses and my sort of degree and stuff, and I thought, you know, they're good, they're working in some ways, but I thought, you know, how can we do this slightly differently? And I'm very sort of game based, really. I like sort of doing things through games and learning through games. That's how I sort of picked it up, and then obviously saw yourself on Twitter and thought, yeah, this is the guy, this is what I need, and it sort of it went from there, really. I've implemented them in, I suppose, I'm a prep school primary PE, so I'm sort of jack of all, and use them in football and probably netball actually as well, mostly. Sort of still getting used to them and understanding the importance of actually planning with the cards instead of just using them as a random occurrence where you just, you know, spray them out to people. I'm still in that learning phase at the moment.
Awesome. Panda's probably a good time to bring you in and to fill in a few gaps in knowledge in terms of Panda probably helps us quite a lot at the coaching lab behind the scenes with developing awesome cards, just asking good questions of me as a person as well to ultimately then help others. So Panda, maybe you can fill in. Or if I said to you, Panda, what's two ways that you could use the cards to have great impact?
Be player centered. And the way we use them is very much that we combine them with other methodologies. So give you an example, we use a big foam dice, 1 to 6. We select 6 cards, whichever number you roll is that card. So it's not quite hit and miss, and it adds a bit of energy when they throw the dice up in the air and they wait for it to bounce. And then, okay, number one, okay. So one team might take number one, one team might take number 6, and then we play. And often the kids get their own favorite one as well. And it means, like Jack was saying earlier about who gets what card. Well, we start off with their favorites and then we start to challenge them, and they get a card that may be new to them as well. And they're reading the cards out themselves. They're confirming their understanding of what they're going to do. And what we find in a game is as well, if someone doesn't do it quite as expected, I say nothing. It's the kids that run the practice. And that is really refreshing when you see that. And actually what we're doing now is I'm running a CPD inset, whatever you want to call it, for that group of teachers. And so now we're starting to embed in the whole process. And that's just from a hockey point of view, but we are now looking at the other sports in respect of that. Where we fit in with the senior school, the first form upwards, is very similar. And we start literally on day one, we get back Monday, junior sport. And again, I'm going to use the other cards for that and start with a reflection. I want to get the kids talking. And reflecting on where they are is probably as much as important as actually running the little games and getting them talking and then gradually drip feeding in. So it's quite an exciting time for us. So when Jack comes up, hopefully we're going to see a real multi-sport experience in that respect. And I've got a few prep school visits planned and I'm going to take them with me. I'm going to showcase what we do. As well, so you know that's going to be quite interesting to see how we're introducing something slightly different about our style with the prep schools as well. So we'll go from now.
It'll be like a zoo when Panda takes out animal cards from the animal deck. Yeah. I can imagine the prep school having loads of fun with that. If I'm thinking of a couple of other ideas, I think reflection's a good one. So I know some coaches and teachers, they would have a reflection card on a board, and when players arrive at the session, Often players don't arrive all at the same time. So actually, we had to leave a card on the board and the players have to write down a thought. Or they have to come and pick up a card and go and speak to a coach. Or they have to pick up a card, a reflection card, and go and share with another pupil. Mm. So as Panis says, they're just generating conversation straight away. So yes, they're called reflection match play cards, but actually they're questions for before, during, and definitely after as well. And that can be done peer-to-peer, it could be done to small groups, it could be done in large groups. That journal aspect, like I said there, of writing. In some of the football academies, I know at Arsenal, they would then give a kid a card, take that away, give that to the parents for the car journey home, bring it back the next time. So that just generating more conversation. And we know that the more players talk about the game, the better decision makers they're going to become. It's no wonder that some of the best players in the world can talk about what they're doing and why they're doing it for so long. It's because they reflect and they understand and they know what they're talking about. And I think that's definitely something we can do at the younger ages. And they definitely know more than we think they do, 100%. Panda, maybe just what's some other ways you've added them into actual games? So leave hockey aside, without mentioning hockey, but wider sport.
We've gone to all extremes, really. We've said, what's your favourite? We've actually sort of said, well, what's your favourite card? And, okay, pick out their favourite card and give it to the opposition. They think it's going to be their team, and then just give it to the opposition. And then you have to explain what that card is and what kind of behaviours we're expecting to see. That's one way. Secret cards, you know, at the end of the game, you've got to find out, what do you think Jack had in his sock? What behaviours was he trying to get? And then I think it was Chris was just talking about the way we learn to coach. And, you know, one of the big phrases, whole part whole. But I completely simplify that and call it game, skill, game. And quite often what I'll do is I'll set up a game, no cards, and we'll play. And then we'll kind of identify some of the maybe one or two skills that we'd like to work on. And then the final game, work on those skills. And then again, I'll start to introduce the cards. So rather put them under too much pressure initially, where it's a bit free flow, then let's identify the skill, work on the skill, and then I'll select appropriate cards for that skill. So if it's running with the ball, We'll have a card or two that are relative to running with the ball, for example. And if it's touches on the ball, seconds on the ball, that kind of thing. So it's a bit, I think it's a great opportunity. You can actually be too, as I say, fluffy, too facilitative, and you can be directive, and you can have a hybrid of the two. So I think that's one of the big things. I was in Geneva last week and I was working with some Swiss kids, and they were new group. I was coach education, and I had a few minutes with a few of them, and I showed them, and they were so excited. It was different, and just for 10 minutes, I worked with some 12-year-olds with the animal cards, and in the end, they didn't want me to go. I had to go. And I did 10 minutes waiting for their coach, and are you coming back? And I was back next night, and I gave them 5-10 minutes, and actually, I gave 4 or 5 cards to one of the coaches. So we haven't talked about this yet, Jack, but I just gave them to a coach and say, what did you do? And then at the end of it, we had a Coca-Cola together, and he told me what he interpreted they were rather than me tell him.
And yeah, that's a good point, Panda, because as coaches, we would maybe interpret it one way. We're adding this card because we want this to happen. Whereas actually the players and the kids and the adults that are using them can take them the complete opposite way. Maybe based on, okay, well, if I give this card to a group at the start of a game, they might interpret it one way. If I give the card to them during the game or towards the end of the game, they might interpret it differently based on the score or based on the numbers they're playing or the shape of the field that they're playing in. And that's why I think it's a really good consideration to understand, when am I giving a card and why am I giving it, but also ask the players and ask them what they're feeling.
I think one of my things, and you know this from my point of view, Jack, that from a coach education point of view, we are very scripted. This is what happens. This is what we get. So as soon as we see a coach do something that's not in the manual, we panic because it's not, you can't assess it. But if someone got a card out and it was different and it fitted in to that process, that's just like using words and it's no different. And I think that's my big push, is that this creativity, this flair is actually part of the makeup of a lot of coaches. And some coaches have difficulty getting the verbalization over as well. So it has this, you know, kind of confidence boost, because you get almost immediate buy-in in some cases.
Definitely. I'm just thinking of a couple of different ways we could use them, and shout out to Alex Butt in Sydney, who I saw the other week, and she gave me this great idea. They play the game as a best of three, or in kind of three rounds. It might be three lots of 5 minutes. Teams have three cards, but they can only use one card per three minutes, per third, sorry. So they have three cards and they choose to use one card in the first third, and they choose to use a second card in the second, and then the same in the last. But they can't use the same card twice, and they don't know what card the opposition is playing. So there's three games within one game. So the first 5 minutes, they use another first card, and so on and so on. But that element of choice around, okay, well, here's some cards, or you've selected the three cards, but when do I put that card in and why do I do that? To go forward, and it could be a best of three, it could be three lots of 7 minutes, three lots of 8 minutes. But I probably moved now to a model where I wouldn't play a game for 15 minutes straight.
Yeah.
I would play a game for 5 minutes, change it, 5 minutes, change it. Or, again, this was something that John Lawson at Rangers shared with us around using the cards as well, but it might be we play three-minute games, but we play it times 10, and there's 1 minute in between. Yeah. And you can, if you chat over that minute, unlucky, the game's already started. But shorter, sharper games. And why is that important? Because if we play for 15 minutes, they can't reflect, because there is no time to reflect because the game's continuous. Whereas if we're playing for shorter periods of time, they have those moments to reflect and chat amongst themselves.
So one of the things that I'm looking at quite closely is this changing numbers, underloads and overloads. You know, we talked about, even someone mentioned it earlier, the underload and overload. And if you give the task of one of the players to go and look at the next card and then to be able to describe it, take them out of the game, you're changing the numbers in the game. So someone's got to recognize that. And then you might say, okay, you've done it, Johnny. Okay, now, Catherine, you go and do it as well. So all of a sudden, you're changing numbers as well while they're thinking, and they become the coach in that 1 minute. So you've got almost an instant. They could do it at any point in that three-minute window to go and look at the next card. Doesn't have to be at the end. It could be right in the middle. Could be right at the beginning. So they're always thinking ahead. And again, this is that communication between the players and the team. So that's something I bought a picnic table to put by the side of the pitch with all my toys. Okay. The foam dice, you know, that's in there. The cards are on there. Got a way we do the scoring. The scoreboard is on there as well. And it just gives a centerpiece, but it gives that, you know, it gives us a real chance to make something different out of it.
Kind of just picking up on the numbers in a similar fashion, I wrote down here, themed pitches. So I'm probably a big fan naturally of small-sided games and would set up multiple pitches. So I might put a different card on each pitch. So let's say there's 20 players and we play 5 and 5 on one side and we play 5 and 5 on the other small-sided pitch, but the players can move between the two. But when they go to the next pitch, the condition on that pitch is different to the pitch they've just come from. So it might be there's something around passing on one pitch, but then there's something around defending on the other pitch. Yeah. So they have to think and then change continuously, or every time they score, they change over. It's just something around that themed pitches. Or even in more of a team setting, in a fixture, it might be putting cards in different areas of the pitch. So in the attacking half, this is the challenge. In the defensive half, this is the challenge. And not everyone's got a picnic table like you, Panda, but they've probably got a coaching board where they can put some cards in those areas. And for me as a dyslexic, to be able to see something in a visual representation of where it's going to be on the field, I think is really powerful to that individual. And it connects them with their game and to go forward.
Very, very key message in all this as well. So, yes, they are games for understanding, but they've got to have fun at the same time. And it's validating that balance between the two. I don't know about you, Chris, but the first week back with the youngsters is always scary because a lot of them are new. A lot of them have grown. A lot of them have changed personality or they may go a bit quieter. So you've got to keep dipping your toe. And that's what this week's all about for us. It's still very much our back to school pre-season, I suppose.
Yeah, I was just thinking of one thing. It's sort of a little off topic, but I found it a really good way of allowing players to express themselves and be creative.
Yeah.
Because your desired outcome might be that you can do in football, you know, step overs or, you know, cross or anything like that, which they wouldn't normally do, fear of failure. And because they're working towards a goal of achieving a card or whatever you want it to be points-wise, they're free from that failure in terms of anyone sort of judging them or looking at them, saying, oh, you know, we're doing this for, what are you doing that for? I think that's been probably my biggest one, is that the availability to express themselves, be creative and be free from all sort of any repercussions that might normally happen in sport.
Point. Yeah, and something you mentioned earlier about the IAPS presentation I was going to deliver around mixed ability groups, and that's something I would say is, how does a player interact with the game? So there's no way or no need for every player's interaction to be exactly the same with the game. And what I mean by that is the goalkeeper's probably not going to score many goals. So his interaction or her interaction with the game is very different to a centre forward or a goal scoring player. A new player into a game, their experience and how they interact with the game is also very different to somebody that's played for 5 years. But using the cards to give some individual challenges or using cards in certain areas of the pitch to how they interact with the game is really, really important. So not always associating the game with the end score as their only form of feedback, but actually associating the game they've just played with the challenge card Chris has just given them, or the card that Panda's put in this area of the pitch, or the challenge that has been set based on the training that's happened recent weeks. So how an individual interacts with the game is something to really consider. Panda, anything to add on that one?
I think, you know, while you're sitting here, I just went to my drawer and I've got a brand new deck of cards that I'm going to take out. We've got two matches today and I'm just thinking the older girls are playing today. I'm just going to ask them to pick three cards for our second game, not our first game, our second game today, and see how that works. Then they've not experienced these because they're at the top end. And I'm just thinking now that what you said there is get a message into the game rather than shout it from the sideline. Let's get a message into the game and see if we can do something around these today and just try it. We've talked this week about if we don't make mistakes, we don't learn. So if we try something new and it doesn't quite work, this is the safe environment to do it in. You know, and I think everybody's able to change a little bit. And, I'm an advocate. But I think you said at the beginning, we don't have to use them every week. There are moments when we use them as well. We can go over the top sometimes on anything. You know, what is a favourite practice? But this could change that favourite practice. And I'm good for changing environments all the time. But we still have to have that core in the middle around our own ethos or our own principles.
And I'm just thinking here, Panda, one of the biggest challenges a teacher or often a coach as well would have is that they coach on their own or teach on their own.
Yep.
So that ability to get feedback is really hard. Whereas I believe my natural bias would be the game is probably the best form of feedback. So actually putting some cards in today in your game is going to be really good feedback to you to help your training, to help you plan your next training session.
It's like
because based on what you've seen.
Well, it's like a different voice as well. You know, they've had me for 3 days. They've heard me for 3 days. Now, if we do something different here, they can maybe interpret it a little bit themselves. And I've decided this year that we're going to start with principles, not tactics, where before we've gone to shapes and things like that. So if I can reinforce the principles by using the cards, which is going to be my challenge today, then that may influence some of the tactics that I want to introduce. So, and I think that's always the same at school. We get new groups. You know, year groups follow through, but when you get to the seniors, you're often merging two or even three year groups to create a new team.
Definitely. And I'm just thinking here, Panda, around actually, I'm an Arsenal fan, so I've obviously watched the recent documentary on Amazon, but just how Mikel Arteta got the emotions by using different senses with the players.
Yeah.
So yes, there was some video. Yes, there was actually go and draw this themselves or go and listen to this or go and watch this and work together. So actually, how can you frame one message in 10 different ways or 5 different ways to connect with those 5 players that need that information in that way? You know, so you might tell the group or tell one individual, this is the challenge we're doing today. Another individual, you might give them the card. Another group, you might say, okay, you've got the whole week to plan. How are you going to do that?
Yeah.
Ready. So just different senses and different emotions and really connecting with those.
I think with leadership teams, even I'm thinking all the time here, and I'm an Arsenal fan as well. And I'm thinking maybe it's the captain and vice captain that maybe pick the cards for the first week. You know, we only want two a session. And what are we going to do? What do we look like? Like we talked about last night, that I want to know what our signature is. What is our secret ingredient? And we're going to turn it into a hashtag. We did this last year. They love creating a hashtag, and it was hashtag relentless. That was our game. That was one of our key principles. And we're talking about this week about a hashtag. And it might be that this gives us a little bit of a clue to what we're going to look like in 2 weeks' time when we start to play properly.
Words are really exciting. It's jogged my memory. When Aston Villa Academy came over here, one of the coaches was talking about, okay, here's the session, but here's 3 words that connect to the session. So when you leave, those 3 words are just right at the center. So if it's around pressing, it's energy, it's closing space. It's all the key, 3 key words that relate to that session and that lessened focus. And then, like you said there, actually, let's connect some cards that, and similar to what Sean said earlier around school values. Okay, here's a word, but how do you connect with it? How do you bring that to life? It's a good place to wrap it up, guys. And as ever, please get in touch. Social media if you need anything, please get in touch. Always happy to help. And would love to hear and see what you're up to. So keep up the good work, everyone.
Okay,
thanks very much, Jeff.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Bye.